I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When was the last time a fucking Champions League winner with dreadlocks and
Barry
fucking
Fry,
who wears glasses on the pitch turned up, you mad old...
Football is a part of I. When I play, the world wakes up around me. These aren't the words of me, your host, Owen Blackhurst, but of Bob Marley.
Oh, I thought that...
You thought it was me?
I thought it was, yeah. No, I thought it was from my grassroots cover story recently.
No, unfortunately, there was nothing that poetic.
Yeah.
The words of Bob Marley, and the reason for repeating the great man's sentiment to the game he adored and was very, very good at by all accounts is because yesterday, we, Monday Our Magazine, launched our collaboration with Admiral Sporting Goods, reissuing a famous tracksuit that Bob wore in 1978 when him and the Wailers were living in London and having daily kickabouts in Battersea Park. It's beautiful, and you can go on our socials and see the little film we've made and the shots and have a look and bag yourself an iconic bit of kit. It's a great thing. Probably one of my favourite things we've ever done, actually.
Fucking fantastic.
Imagine if someone said that as a kid, that you'd be doing that.
It's so
like with
exciting.
Bob Marley. It's fucking so cool.
It's actually exciting.
Welcome, as ever, to Reminding You Why You Love Football, a podcast that tries to make sure the sun is always shining. And no matter how shit a week you've had, every little thing is going to be all right, apart from these three wankers round the table with me. So, joining me, Owen Natural Mystic Blackhurst, today are Seb, Easy Skanking White,
yeah.
Tommy, Crazy Baldhead Stewart,
yeah.
And Jamming James
hey.
Burke.
Hey.
What you were, he's jamming.
I want to jam it with you.
You'd be a fucking really annoying jam maker. Have you seen my produce? I only use the best strawberries.
And I hope you like, says the man who fucking.
We're jamming.
I
hope you like jamming too. Woo! I hope you like Birdo. Today is also the anniversary of Big Joe Jordan being squared up to by little Gennaro Gattuso in the San Siro. So it's probably worth asking, after all the love of the Bob Marley stuff there, which ex player would you least like to square up to?
Kevin Muscat.
Yeah, I think he's a bully. I reckon I'd have him.
He's a horrible man.
But square up to, like, because Joe Jordan, clearly, Gattuso thought, who's this old man? Joe Gordon glowered at him and he went, ooh.
Yeah, the answer's still Kevin Muscat.
Okay, Seb.
I'm still having nightmares about Billy Whitehurst, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's hard to top Billy Whitehurst if you listen back to one of our earlier episodes. Mm. Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, James won't listen to that because he wasn't on it. We're jamming. I hope you like jamming too.
Don't listen to the ones I'm on.
This is true. For me, God, I don't know.
Yeah, go on. Who?
Roy Keane, surely, Owen.
No. Honestly, Pete Vieira.
Yeah.
He's just too big. Like Roy Keane, I'd give myself a 50% chance of beating Roy Keane up. Especially now he's old and got a bad hip. Patrick Vieira, it's like, do you remember when you've played against people that size?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're so different. You can't get round them.
Recently, yeah.
You can't get round them.
Terrifying.
Enough about your grinder.
Not anymore.
What, you are now you're on field?
Yeah.
Are you on field?
Yeah, not anymore, but yeah.
What is field?
It's about you. It's about your kink. I was talking to someone about this the other night. You put your kinks in. Someone was telling me the other day that two of her best friends met on there and they're getting married.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Is there...
Me and my future wife.
You make
met
a list of sexual preferences, not just kinks.
But a lot of it is kink-based. It's described as the kink-based app. And how would you know, Jay? You've been in love with... You're married!
Yeah.
You're married.
And I hope I'm jamming.
Is there imagine Seb going on there. Yeovil.
Yeah.
Non-league football. Saturday, 3 p.m. But what's your kink?
You're a 96.
I fucking love you're a 96.
You never been to Uish Park?
God, this is silly, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's good though.
When someone said the other day it was like being at uni, I think it's more like school.
We are 4.9 on Apple, 5-star on Spotify. And we are part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hello, this is the voice of Tommy Stewart, not Owen Blackhurst, as you probably know by now, if you have listened to this podcast. This week it's a very special Mascots of the World Unite and Take Over, as we invite on an Irish playwright, Enda Walsh, and this is his Mascots of the World Unite and Take Over.
Mascots of the World Unite and Take Over. Thanks to Mark Carolan, who emailed us in from nowhere and introduced this story to us. And well done, Tommy, for following that up. Set the scene. It's the run-up to Italia 90. Jack Charlton is Ireland manager. He's already very popular after 88. And you're 21 years old. So where do we go from there?
Well, a mate got in touch with me, and he said, "Do you want to make 400 quid a game to watch, sort of like to be the Irish mascot?"
In 1990, 400 quid.
I mean, yeah, which is basically sort of, I mean, I don't know, it felt like sort of 10 grand this week. It was crazy. So I was like, what? I've got." And he was going, "Yeah, they're putting out this new mascot. It's McCool. It's an Irish wolfhound. Got to wear an Irish sort of like wolfhound head." Sort of hairy sort of arms and legs and all this. So basically like a Spanish man with sort of like, you know, and sort of shorts and, you know, socks and go out and look at the game and you get 400 quid. And I said, I'm on. Because I was on the dole at the time and I was a wannabe writer. I wanted to write. I was like an anorexic James Joyce, sort of little round glasses, one there, really a pain in the hole, really, I guess. But like sort of with my Dubliners and reading fucking Joyce and all this sort of carry on. So I was like, I rocked up, put on the suit, and I was there in sort of Lansdowne Road, put on the suit and put on this fucking hilarious head and went out. And then watched all the sort of the run up to it, like, so Jack Charlton was like, you know, a god. And that team at the sort of back of sort of 1988, the European Championships, were sort of beloved. And so very, very excited about sort of like 1990. So it was the lead up to that. So I think we were playing, I can't remember because it seems like so long ago, maybe sort of like fucking Russia or sort of like our England or da-da-da. But I watched all these matches through the mouth of this dog. And sort of like, and part of my sort of thing, like every mascot, right, was sort of like I came out with a team and I run up and down and I like acting the sort of fucking ghost, the dog, you know, like fucking up and down at the sort of the sideline. And then at half time, I sort of had this thing where I would urinate on the opposition fucking goal line. which was sort of like really, but all of it was really ridiculous as sort of mascots are, but I fucking loved it. And no one knew who the fuck I was. I mean, my parents sort of, I think they were horrified. They were like, oh my God, he's on the dole. He's dressing up as a dog. And he's sort of like, and then I told them what I was getting. They were going, geez, that's fucking, that's a lot of money. I mean, it's like, I think my dole was 25 quid a week or something like that. So, but then after the game, I got to know I was in the corner and there's a little sort of pub in Lansdowne and I was very sort of cute. And the teams will come up after the game. And I got to know the team, the Irish team. Like one of them came over and said, well, what are you doing? And I was going, oh, and he's got, he's the fucking mascot. And they were so much do you get? I said, I get 400 quid. And they're like, fuck, they were getting 300 quid a game. And sort of, you know, Steve sort of son and all these fucking guys were going, he's getting fucking, you know.
Very good.
Steve, can you believe that? So, and I got to sort of meet all these sort of, all these other sort of like Gascoigne and shit like that. I saw Gascoigne pour a whole pint over his head after a game, which was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was so great. And I'd forgotten about this. But someone got in touch with me last year about it. And I told my wife she was fucking, like, she thought it was a joke. And because I'm a playwright well known in Ireland or whatever, people just thought this is Enda Walsh just having a fucking laugh. And why is he owning up to this? This must be really embarrassing. But I'm like, fuck that. This is the happiest time of my life.
And how long did you do it for?
I did it right up. I didn't sort of like someone else, some other dog went to sort of like Italia 90, right?
Oh,
I couldn't
God.
For some reason.
Oh, right, okay.
Can't remember what, but I got the job of going around these sort of like pubs in Ireland and around Dublin. These fucking car parks with sort of marquees. You know, you can imagine just a fucking And I swear to God, I was like Jodie Foster in The Accused. The amount of times I was groped by sort of like, by women and men, sort of like as a dog in car parks and shit like that.
Amazing.
But then I think the last time and the last appearance I had sort of like as the dog, right? Opel, who were the sort of, you know, supporters of Ireland, they were saying they're opening up a car factory and Jack Charlton's going to be there with the head of the sort of football union, blah, blah, the head of RTE, you know, our broadcaster. You know, will you turn up? And you turn up, you're going to get like fucking whatever, another 400 quid. Well, I'm going, yeah, no problem. So I rocked up, put on the suits, fucking stood behind him waving, you know, like with sort of like all this sort of thing. I think this was just after the 1990s, so it was just, people were like fucking, like adored Jack Charlton. So we left, the thing was done, and we came out to this little village sort of nearby, which is, was a village back then called Skerries, just outside of Dublin. And we got sort of split up, and I ended up going into a pub with Jack Charlton by myself, right? And it was an empty pub. It was sort of like, it was a really weird, it was like a Tuesday night or something. There was no one there. And there was a pool table, and he went, God, he said, well, I guess we sort of, we're just waiting until they find us, sort of carry on. And so we had a couple of pints of Guinness, and we started playing pool, and he was a very good pool player. And he said to me, he said, so do you want to do this all your life? And I said, no, you know, I really want to be a writer, but I have no idea how to go about doing it. So I think I want to be sort of a writer. And he said, oh, fair to you. You know, well done. There, and all this sort of carry on. And then we just sort of, and then I just started talking to him about like sort of Italian 90 and stuff like that and sort of how it was. And I mean, it was a really beautiful moment. It was a really like, oh my God, I'm with the most famous man in Ireland now. And sort of one of the most famous men in sort of, in, you know, football at the time in the world, because Ireland did so well. And it was a classic moment. And then I just retired the dog after that. They retired me. I just sort of, I outgrew it. What can I say?
When you were in the pub with Jack, you didn't still have the bottom half of the suit, did you?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. No, wouldn't it be fucking great? So I wish I was there. It was in a sort of like a little plastic bag, a little carrier bag, you know, sort of underneath it. That's, you know, crazy. Underneath the table, sort of underneath my pint.
The head poking out.
I don't know where the fuck the head was. The head was pretty enormous. Honestly, it was like putting on a sort of like a Vauxhall Beetle on your head. And dog shit, it's fucking huge.
Oh my God.
It's such a good story. I was going to ask quite like, you know, a question about what it was to be like around your heroes. But the bit that you've just said about like, you know, you were completely invisible in the classic question of what would you do if you were invisible for a day? And you've just gone and pissed on the opposition's goal, man. You could have chosen anything to do being invisible, but you've just chosen to go and piss in the goal mouth.
I know, it was so good. And sort of giving the opposition the fucking V sign, you know, like fucking. With my paws.
Did you have paws?
No, weirdly, this dog had hands. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Brilliant.
I'd love to know where they started. Firstly, who came up with the idea for it to be a wolfhound as a mascot? Yeah. Because there wasn't as many. Mascots weren't as prevalent at this point. They've become very prevalent now, but like at the time, I don't remember like loads of mascots in the early 90s when I was growing up. But imagine the thought process. Oh yeah, he's got to be a wolfhound.
Well, listen. As Englishmen, you wouldn't realise that the Irish wolfhound is part of our mythology.
In
mythology, it's sort of like it's this incredibly heroic character. It's not someone that looked like that fucking thing, like a child's drawing, a child with ADHD who sort of who took up sort of sewing and just created this weird. I mean, it was a really bad costume. I swear to God. I mean, I'm sort of like, I think it's, you know, when you hear about people sort of passing out in the sort of tube because it's 50 degrees and shit like that. I mean, thank God there wasn't any heat in Ireland because. I was the hottest fucking person in Ireland.
That was, that was going to be my question, actually, because we've always spoke about mascots and different costumes and all this, but we haven't actually spoken properly to someone who was actually inside it. When you go into these pubs in the middle of the summer, how hot is it? And how do you drink a Guinness on the sly? Or do you have to hide off in a secret in the toilets or something? Or do you just take the head off and just down that Guinness?
When I was doing, and one day I'll write about it, you know, I should really write. But I mean, honest to God, I mean, like going around those pubs and those sort of like outdoor sort of like car park pubs. I mean, it was like going to war. It was sort of like, and I was, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say, I was drunk for half of that because I thought, it's the only way I'm going to get through this.
Yeah.
And it was hot. Yeah, that's true. It was sort of hot. So it was like, you know, it was like it was middle of summer, Italian 19, and even Southern Ireland. So, but I guess, I mean, they weren't sort of built to sort of for comfort, those sort of things.
It's a lot of chafing.
And did they, a lot of chafing, did they make you give the costume back when you hung up the head?
Yeah, I don't know where it ended up. I was thinking about it today, and I thought, oh God, it would be great to sort of, I'm sure I might be able to swing it though. If I can get in touch with someone and say, if that still exists, I swear to God, I'll run around and sort of Lansdowne Road.
Imagine that, the return of McCall.
I'll give them what they paid me back then.
And that's another thing. I wonder who fucking decided that the mascot would get more than the players.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Oh, well, that's it. I mean, the players were livid, but that's it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why.
I don't think mascots get that now.
No.
Thank you so much. Fantastic.
That's perfect.
Really. Thank you, Endermate.
Yeah, and if maybe we'll commission you to like maybe write about it for the magazine at some point, and we'll go deeper into the tours of the pubs and the marquees and the car parks. It's a very Mundial story and one we'd like to read more about. I think that'd be great.
Sure, absolutely. Well, listen, lots of love to all of you. Have a good weekend.
Brilliant.
Cheers, Andy.
You too. Thanks,
you too, mate.
Brilliant. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Like he retired the head, we may have to retire mascots of the world for a bit. The fucking wolfhound. I had a friend who was a wolfhound for a bit. I say a friend.
My friend who had a wolfhound.
No, my dog had a wolfhound friend for a bit.
I had a friend who was a wolfhound.
But he was sort of my mate as well. Yeah, he loved me. Oh. So one of the places
it wasn't Ender, was it?
No. Dublin. One of the places I used to walk the dogs before the fucking RSBP made it Leeds only. We just started bumping into this fucking big wolfhound and his owner. And he used to get so excited to see us because he knew Big was in the car. He'd just come up, like stick his head through the car window. Oh. I've got a 4x4 as well. So he'd be like, just stick it in and just fucking do a big lick of my face. I mean, his head was fucking unbelievable. They're amazing dogs. I mean, quite tragically, his owner died quite suddenly. And Deefa's back with his mom at the wolfhound, what do you call it?
Well,
shack.
The wolfhound stud. The wolfhound shack, James. That's what I'd call it. Yeah. The wolfhound shack. But honestly,
yeah,
he chased Biggie around everywhere. He nearly killed him about five times.
Oh, I mean,
well, he thought he was the size of a cat.
Yeah,
right. Didn't know his own strength.
Mm. Oh.
Well, a bit like Hodor.
I've got a funny story about a wolfhound though. We talked recently about me working with my dad on the courts. At the court we were doing it at.
Tennis courts, this is.
Not
Dennis White Sr. was not
a magistrate's court. Yeah. I remember getting out my dad's van, just walking out, and all of a sudden, in the distance, just seeing this, what I thought was a horse. You know, we come in this lovely, big, long gravel track, which I thought, what day is that?
And it, you tried to put a bet on it, didn't you?
Bounding. Yeah, very good, very good. And I just see it. It goes in slow motion towards me. Just bounds and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is when I'm 17, 18. So I've spurted.
You're not Sebby Toxic.
No, I'm not Sebby Toxic. I've spurted. So I'm quite big.
You're a big stick.
And this dog just comes up to me and I soon, within like the last 5 seconds, I go, fuck, this dog's coming straight for me. And not in an aggressive way, just bounding and paws, legs, head everywhere. And it just sort of puts its paws on me, and the sheer force of it knocked me clean off my feet.
Well, Deefa was 87 kilos,
and then licked me to death. Yeah. Softest dog.
If I lived in a cold country,
yeah,
like I'd have like a wolfhound and a Newfoundland and stuff like that. I'd just have an army of giant dogs.
Oh, Owen, can you imagine it?
Well, you wouldn't be able to come near me.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like that Daniel Radcliffe picture.
Exile Dictator.
Is that real?
I think it's off a film.
Magnificent dog. I love
great, they are magnificent
fucking
beasts.
They are. I'm so fucking big,
you must have
they?
To have a carrier bag for the poos.
For the turds?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of shit.
Yeah, which, you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
No.
Shits and turds, more like. Shits and
turds. Mascots of the World, Unite and Take Over. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ender.
Really good.
Mundial joins the dots for football culture.
And that's not a boast by us, but the words of an actual subscriber in our most recent reader survey. Why not see what they're on about and have a look at Mundial Magazine? 100 pages of global football magic released 4 times a year. It looks great, smells great, and the writing isn't bad either. Go to mundialmag.com or follow the link in the show description to find out more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We support these, we support these, we support these now, we support these, we support these now.
Sebastian Dennis White, who are we supporting and why?
We are supporting Lauren James. And I apologise in advance for the Chelseaification of this podcast continuing. But I think there is a number of reasons why we support Lauren James. And I think it's a number of reasons why we should talk about Lauren James. Firstly, it is a privilege and a pleasure to watch her week in, week out. I think we have to sometimes just enjoy the good stuff and enjoy the good things and go...
When do you not enjoy the good stuff and the good things?
No, I think there's a lot of, you know, there's always stuff on social media. Just enjoy. I genuinely enjoy it. When she gets that ball,
yeah,
there is honestly that, like, anticipation, excitement, because you just don't know what she's going to do. I'm not over-egging this. There's almost an expectation now when she gets the ball. I've seen her recently in quick succession, and it's just... The way she gets the ball and the way she, like, rolls her studs over the top of it, and it's like, what's she going to do next? Is she going to dart? Is she going to take it past? Is she just going to stand there? Like the other day, she just stood there waiting for the defender to do something, to go first. And there's just a real joy to it, and there's a real fun about it. And the reason I wanted to talk about that is not just because, A, she's great, because it's very easy. Anyone can sit here and say Lauren James is an incredible footballer. Which she is. It's obvious to everyone. Emma Hayes, who is always about the team, even she cannot not speak about the outrageous talent she's got. She's getting more, obviously, because she's so good, she's getting more and more media scrutiny. We saw what happened to her in the World Cup when she got sent off and all the abuse on social media that she got. I think that with the increased scrutiny and the people expecting things from her, I just want people to not forget how joyful she can be and not... There's a real genuine, like, not just world-class talent, but a different talent. She plays the game differently to pretty much every female footballer.
Right.
She just looks different. She acts different. She plays different. And as soon as she just decides to ramp it up, go into fourth or fifth gear, no one is stopping her. And I think the key thing is we should enjoy that as football fans, but also protect that. Because I think... She's going to get more and more scrutiny.
Seb, as someone who watches her week in, week out, and I want to ask this question here because it's a... So, I've watched a lot of Mo Salah. Quite a lot in the flesh, a lot on TV or whatever. When you see him in the flesh, the thing that's always surprised me about Mo is, like, you get that sense of anticipation when he gets on the ball. But also, there's times when he can suddenly look like he's never kicked a football.
Oh!
Do you know what I mean?
Like
he'll fall over, he'll do a weird dribble or something, but then 2 minutes later he rinses the entire team and sticks it top corner. You don't know how he scored that. Whereas someone like Messi never looks like he's never cooked a football.
Yes.
That's such a good point.
But what about Lauren James? Is she more in the Messi camp of it's like always liquid, or is she more in the Salah camp of still a bit unpredictable or whatever?
The unpredictability is part of that anticipation and excitement, because she might just roll off her foot and it might just whatever. It might not be get it right every single time. And that's the thing with Emma Hayes, has been on her for the last 18 months, is consistency. And again, she has got more consistent and more effective, certainly more efficient.
Within that then, if she's got more consistent, more effective and more efficient, has that robbed a bit of the...
No, I think because there's still that balance there. And I think even Emma Hayes is all about the team. And honestly, that Chelsea team is... There's a reason why it's won four titles in a row. It's probably going to win the next one. It's probably going to win the FA Cup again, and it might even win the Champions League. It's only Barca that will stop them.
A lot of nights out for you, that, isn't it?
Yeah, but the whole team is brilliant. And I love players like Aaron Cuthbert who work their fucking socks off and are just excellent. But there is just genuine joy watching Laura James.
And do you get the sense, because I sort of like watching the Women's World Cup last year. God, all these tournaments come so quick.
Well, exactly.
Back and forth, Men's and Women's World Cup and Euros for the last fucking 8 years.
No, there's been
a gap. And then there's Confederations Cups and your Arnold Clarks and stuff like that. It's non-stop. Yeah. Football.
R.I.P. the Arnold Clark Cup.
Yeah, not this year, but maybe next year, still around.
It's like Seb's in charge of the global football.
Just football.
There cannot be a day on God's green earth when football is not played.
What's that Mitchell at Webb sketch as well? All the football, all the time.
But do you get the sense from the other players on the pitch, and it's a team stacked with talent, and obviously Sam Kerr's out at the moment, so do you get the sense they want Lauren to take the responsibility and they look to her as well, especially with Sam Kerr out?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, and that's only going to become more apparent as, you know, now they've really got used to Sam Kerr not being there, but they all speak about her in different ways. You know, Leah Williamson isn't one for...
Gilding the lily.
Yeah, really, because she's a brilliant talker, isn't she?
It's very awesome.
She said she's like a cheat mode, you know. And it's almost like you just assume that she's going to do it and you should just, oh, okay, that's just what she does. Again, that's probably my point. We should support that, but also enjoy it and go, actually, yeah, that is what she does, but it is fucking brilliant. Let's not just breeze past it like she breezes past defenders.
There's two things that I want to say. The first thing is that I'm really happy of how she's progressed over the last 3-4 years because we profiled her in our 2020 Vision magazine and said that she was one of the players in the world to watch.
Looking back, we got a lot right in that.
Yeah, I know. It's
weirdly, no one read
the ghost issue.
No one read it at the time, and I don't think anyone liked it, even us by the end of it.
Yeah.
Postscript, like for anyone who doesn't know what we're on about, before COVID, we did an issue called 2020 Vision, where we looked at the fucking 186 things in football that terrified or fucking excited or whatever. And we went through everything from stadiums to fucking young players to fucking
tech and
blah, 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 future goalkeeping coaching. It was a very different issue for us, but not one person's ever said they liked it. But anyway, James, sorry.
So that's first thing. The second thing is...
You weren't reading it then, you were just pretending.
The second thing is essentially a question, but I've spoken to a couple of friends, female friends of mine who play football recently about this, which is that especially when I watched Lauren James during the World Cup and when she got sent off and the frustration that she clearly had in that game, I feel that she's almost playing a generation ahead of a lot of the other players that even she plays with at Chelsea. So as an example, when Rooney came through at Everton and he played with his heroes, who are his footballing heroes, and he got in the Rondo with them for the first time and said, you know, these aren't as good as I thought they were.
No, he didn't. He said, these are fucking shit.
Like a similar time period is when you had Cristiano Ronaldo playing in front of Gary Neville. All the trophies, et cetera, et cetera. But they're different generations of footballers. And watching Lauren James play, the runs that she made, the control, what you were saying there about the stopping of the play and waiting for the defender to make the move, I thought she looked a little bit frustrated for England at times because she was...
And do you think Rooney was maybe the same with his red card?
Maybe, a similar thing.
I think the Rooney.
I think it's different.
Yeah.
I think Rooney was generationally ahead of that Everton team, but as soon as he went United, he found his level.
Sure.
Whereas with the women's game, because it's moving so quickly, get four or five generations in a team. If you've got a 38-year-old centre half and a 19-year-old Lauren James, for instance,
this is exactly what I mean. And the female friends who I mentioned it to were like, because it's progressing so quickly, the game, everything about it is progressing so quickly. That is happening quite a lot.
It's like an ear, isn't it? It's like you've got some old, you know, the old broadcasters over that side of the room. The old war horses. You look over here,
It's exactly like that. It is, yeah.
Weathered.
As long as I don't start looking like David Beckham, what you said the other day, I still can't stop laughing about that.
What, his new face?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks awful.
The cat man.
This is what We Support These Now was originally about.
Exactly.
Is taking a moment in time and not doing it based on something that happened at the weekend, but just going, hang on a minute.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Taking a pause and just going, look, enjoy her. And if you haven't, for whatever reason, been to a women's football game, if you're going to go and do it once or want to do it once, just go and watch Chelsea because they are the best at what they do at the moment. But also go and watch Lauren James because I do think if she does get looked after and things like that, and maybe Emma Hayes leaving might slightly jeopardise that because, yeah, she, there's not a foregone conclusion she was going to be this sort of player. She didn't really, play for Man United week in, week out. It wasn't like she was at Man United, but there was a talent there, and Emma Hayes has obviously grown. So it's not a foregone conclusion. So hopefully she'll be doing this for years to come, but I do think it's one of those times where you just got to go, look, enjoy this and appreciate it for what it is. Don't get too, because the stuff in the World Cup was mad. And we've seen that happen with male football, all footballers, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, we saw that happen with Rooney a little bit.
Beckham.
You know, all of these, let's just take a pause sometimes and enjoy it and don't get sucked into
the madness. What's the future hold for you? Do you think she'll go abroad?
I'd be extremely surprised if she doesn't go to the NWSL at some point. I think I was...
Rather than a Spain.
Well, Barca, obviously, the Lucy Bronze and Kira Walsh there as well. Who's to say that other English players won't be joining? But if you are going to leave England, that's probably the only club you'll go to. Mm. Well, especially if you're leaving someone like Chelsea.
Not Lyon?
Lyon has still got it, but you go into the French league as well. If you're going to do that, you're going to go to Barca.
Have you just called it a Farmers League, Seb?
No, not a Farmers League.
I'm joking.
No, I think if you're going to go to a league where it's going to be pretty standard domestically, but you're going to be playing at the Nou Camp or wherever.
Her brother, Reece. He's always said that when they played together in the garden or kicked about or whatever, he's always said that she was better than he was.
Wow.
He's always said she's far more skillful, her touch is far more better, her brain, footballing brain's better than mine. Reece has always said that.
Cool.
Well, his dad's a coach, isn't he? And I'd imagine the one-on-one stuff she was doing with Reece throughout, because even if she was better and had a better touch, at some point physically he would have developed quicker. So do you know what I mean? That's undoubtedly helped her.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, he's a big cheese in the James's dad. He's a big cheese in West London football circles.
A big cheese? Le grand fromage!
Le grand fromage in West London.
Fucking hell. The old fucking massive camembert knocking around West London.
A big cheese.
Nigel James, isn't it? Yeah, he's got his own coaching school and stuff like that. But they are
big cheese.
I haven't heard that in ages.
There's a great picture of both of them, isn't there, playing for Kingstonian. Yeah. And it's just like, it's amazing that.
Adventures in Clubland.
Pubs are chucking out. We're walking down the street. Should we go to... Yeah, come on then. And we're off. James has got his base loafers on. Seb's got his top off.
Yeah.
Tommy's straight
to Definitely not going to get in.
No, Tommy's straight to the smoking area. Aaron's just been knocked out by the bouncer.
Are you telling me that we're off for an adventuring club, lad?
I am, James.
Whoa!
And this adventure... It's certainly adventure. Nightmare, maybe. But I'm going to leave James Bird to talk us through it because he has very strong feelings about this story. And James, let's go.
It's 2012 in North London, Barnet to be exact. And 12 games in.
Yeah.
In League Two. It's winless in 12, rock bottom.
Uh-oh.
Enter. A man... who has won the Champions League, who retired 2 years ago, 2010, after playing six games in total for Crystal Palace. And he's got a sensational pair of glasses.
Everyone knows who it is.
Not yet.
It's Edgar Davids.
Is it?
It's Edgar Davids.
Hang on, he played for Palace?
Yeah, he played
for Palace. That's where Seb's got stuck. Yeah.
He's reading the script.
Played exterminate! Six. Exterminate! Computer says no! No!
I never knew.
Played six games.
Self-destruct.
Ed, can you bring the air wrench? Seb's brain needs putting back on. He's forgot that Edgar Davids played six games for Crystal Palace and his foundations are crumbling. Look at him. You can see it going like the... Like a fucking, like a blown up council block going down behind his eyes. Just fucking crumbling into his fucking... Kids all around going, fuck me. Yeah, yeah. He used to know stuff about football.
That's good, though. That's very good.
James, so back to Barnett.
So the story goes that, of course, David's played for Spurs a couple of years before that, and he loved London. He kept a base in South London. He was turning out for Brixton United, a Sunday league team, and helping with their coaching.
Imagine
and,
that.
Yeah. We're talking here about a man, you know, nicknamed the Pitbull, who is in love with football. So he's going to do mad things. Edgar Davies joins the club as a player manager. A guy called Mark Dobson, who is the person that he's actually sharing the role as manager with. So
that always works.
Imagine sharing the role.
We're going to be joint managers, are we?
With Edgar Davies.
Like when Paul Roy Evans got done by Jed Houllier.
And
Jim and Michael Scott on The Office didn't
in
work.
In their first game, Davies doesn't play himself. He stays in the dugout with Mark, and they lose.
Assessing.
So by the time. By the time his playing debut comes up the week later against Northampton, he picks himself, makes himself captain.
Yeah, from the front, didn't he?
And they win 4-0. Now, I think that this is, you know, that David's at Barnet is a story that people have heard before. But the reason that I wanted to tell it and the reason that I'm doing this today is because I vividly remember I was in my third year of uni. I remember a football focus segment. Mark Clement just before his first game. So the scene sets and Mark Clement's walking through the veins of Barnett's ground.
On the hill?
Fucking hell, they loved a walking shot. Yeah, didn't
they?
He's
walking.
Yes,
Kevin Day at fucking Palace yet again.
He walks down and he walks into the home ground and there's David's shirt and he picks it up and he goes, Ajax, Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Barcelona, Tottenham, Crystal Palace, and Barnet. Yeah. And then gets to the shirt and picks up the shirt. We then cut to the bar before the game, and it cuts to the first thing you see is a load of teenagers going, Edgar Davids is a bee, he loves Barnet.
That's fucking
then
great.
We cut to an old man who goes, you know, he's like, what do you think about Edgar Davids being at Barnet? And he's like, oh, well, I'm used to this kind of thing, being a Barnet fan.
Are you?
No, you're not.
And then the last.
When was the last time a fucking Champions League winner with dreadlocks and
Barry
fucking
Fry
who wears glasses on the pitch turned up, you mad old cunt?
And then the last.
Barry Fry did not win the Champions League.
The last of the trio of interviews. It's just five pissed Dutch blokes going like, yeah, we obviously came to support Edgar, but also we love Barnet.
Where were they from?
Wales. Yeah. So there's a load of Dutch fans who travelled.
That's fucking great.
As well. It also shows it shows highlights. Shows highlights like Edgar Davids' highlights of the game in this 4-minute sort of VT. Yeah. The first one is him just fucking giving one of his own players an absolute bollocking. His glasses are coming off. The second one is him just wiping out a Northampton player who does a 360 spin midair. And then there's a little interview with him as he comes off the pitch, and all of sort of David's teammates are walking past him and Clement as the interview goes on, and they're just like, yeah, Edgar! And Edgar's like, you know, we've got a great bunch of players here. Yeah. I really think that they shouldn't be at the bottom of the league where they are. We're going to work really hard to do this. So they're rock bottom when he arrived. And he gets them out of the relegation zone, I think, after two-thirds way through the season. The game before their last game, they lose and they drop back into the relegation zone. And then Wimbledon stay up ahead of them and they do get relegated to the conference. Mm. And everyone at Barnet was like, that's Edgar David doesn't want to play in the conference. Edgar David does want to play.
Of course he does. Bastard knew he would.
What did he say about staying in the conference?
You just want me to do the accent again so you can tease me.
What I was going to say,
all right, his second time.
It was American.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, one of the things I love about James is his unwavering confidence that on a podcast where the other three people have demonstrated they're quite good at accents, he keeps on bumbling through ones that sound nothing like the others. But you know what? Just fucking does them anyway.
I
admire that.
Good they're not great, the accents.
I felt like that.
Although I did do three different ones for the little VTs and the
I love the kids.
Football focus thing.
Your English ones aren't too bad.
Let's be brutally honest. As you know, as a player from a Dutch national team player, him playing in these orange black stripes with his orange glasses and his dreadlocks, like he looks
Yeah, he did.
Fucking wonderful.
Yeah, he looked incredible.
He looks wonderful. Anyway, in the conference, his first... I think he starts to get a bit frustrated in the conference. His first eight games, first eight league games, he gets books in all of them. And then he gets three red cards in the space of five games.
Because if you, the thing is, what you'd hope for, wouldn't you, that Edgar Davids, going into the conference, he'd just sit at the base of midfield.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah. And no one could get near him because he'd just play one touch.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
No, 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 he's not doing that. No, he's overrunning the ball, fucking clattering people, fucking steaming him with elbows.
Yeah, so this is now the 13-14 season. By, I think, January, he leaves. And they're about 10th in the table. But I think that there's loads of mad stories about it as well. In the first season, there was a fan's coach broke down on the way to Aldershot or something. So he made all the players get off their coach and that coach go and turn around to pick up the fans.
That had broken down. Yeah.
By the January of 2014, it had become obvious. Mutual consent. We've had fun here. We've had an adventure. Like you've had a good time and you've really, you know, you've brought the sort of international spotlight and on our club and you clearly love us and we love you, but
brilliant. I went on holiday to Spain as a kid and they, do you remember like the fake Oakleys they used to sell?
Yeah.
Like two, I want to say, it wouldn't have been Euros actually. It would have been in the sort of late 90s. What would it be?
Potatoes?
Potatoes, yeah.
Potatoes.
But I remember asking my mum and dad if I could buy some orange Oakleys and then going back to England and then showing and up at a training for summer pre-season wearing my orange Oakleys.
It's the, you know, despite it being for an actual medical reason, it's the peak accessory to be wearing.
It's incredible.
It's
well, no one else has they?
They looked cool.
Yeah. They did, yeah.
Introducing The Hattrick, a new subscriber newsletter from Mundial. Each week, there'll be three stories linked by a theme. Stories from islands, stories about people, stories about heroes, stories about villains, stories about love, hope, despair, joy, and, of course, goals. Go to mundialmag.com to sign up to The Hattrick now.
Ins and outs, outs and ins. On we go. Ins, I'm going to start with Tommy Stewart.
My in this week is the Wu-Tang Clan documentary of Mics and Men, which was originally aired on Showtime.
Nice.
I think, for my money, and I know I've said this about a documentary before, the Van Hal one, which I love, but it's a documentary series, four episodes, 1 hour each, and it just has interviews with every single one of them.
See, it's
family.
Interesting this, because I think it's shit, but come on.
Do you?
Yeah. Tell me why you think it's good, and I'll tell you why I think it's shit.
Because...
Okay. The one where we're all sat in the cinema watching.
Yes, I think that's the thing I loved about it because it goes back to them, and then when they're crying, when they're talking about Old Dirty Bastard, like, and
ODB,
some of the archive footage stuff I've never seen before.
Like there's some, I like the bits of the cinema. I like some of the archive footage.
Go on.
I think it's clear that RZA has produced it because he comes out of it very well.
He does. Yeah.
So none of the bad stuff gets talked about.
Yeah.
And I think they gloss over what happened to Old Dirty pretty criminally as well. He goes from being looking like young Old Dirty Bastard to being...
And then he gets out of jail and he's
fat,
bigger.
He's fat and dead and they don't talk about it. So for that, I thought it was a bit hagiographic.
And I had the same conversation with Owen because I've watched it and I'm not obviously familiar with loads of their work, obviously. Because I'm a guitar man, guitar only.
No.
Get the guitar.
I thought it was quite good, but I remember having Owen saying exactly the same thing to me.
Fair.
Afterwards, because obviously I asked Owen.
No, I take the point.
But all Seb said to me for about a year after that was, I thought you were bringing the ruckus home. James Bird.
Yeah, my in is buying training tops instead of shirt. The design is often more interesting, so they're allowed to get away with more. All the collars are slightly like high.
Yes.
So you've got like, almost like little mock neck collars. Yes. There's a Club America Nike one long sleeve that I've been looking at. It's like £30 instead of £200 that the shirt would be.
Ugh.
There's like a Barcelona like quarter.
Get the goose grease.
Barcelona like 08-09 quarter zip one for £50.
Ugh.
There's like an Ajax Addy one, red stripes with a hood.
I'm into this. Shirts, great, but you can often see quite a lot of people in shirts. But if you go a little bit deeper and get the training tops.
This is it.
And you can wear them as keeper shirts, I found.
This is it. Definitely. This is it. Long sleeve, little mock necks.
But you can wear them for anything. Yeah. It could be your gym top. You can wear it to cricket training.
For bed.
Hey, training.
Not for bed. What all our listeners should know is that Seb, the fucking mad twat, instead of wearing something nice and cotton around his balls at night... Or instead of sleeping naked to air them, Seb often wears polyester football shorts to sleep in.
He does, because I've shared 100%. A sofa with him.
Yeah, 100%.
Wasn't a sofa, was it? It was a bed in the Alps.
Sofa bed.
Yeah.
Sofa bed.
I occasionally do that, but with boxers underneath, not just the shorts.
Oh, no, no. Let the boys free.
Let the boys free, but wrap them in man-made clothing.
You never know when you might get the call up, oh.
You do. Yeah. You do. It's the same day every year.
Every year. Armistice Day.
Yeah.
Seb's own personal Dunkirk. And where'd you go for these training tops, James? Where's your go-to place?
Is it? It's classic football shirts.
Brilliant, James. In. All the ins. Treble ins. Seb.
I'm going to say independent record shops, but...
Do you have a record player?
No.
Okay.
I don't. This is the thing.
Really?
I don't have a record
surprised.
Player. Yeah. And to be honest, have I bought many...
He's got a child.
Have I bought much
music? You can't
have
a vinyl collection and a young and a child.
Fair, but I think in this day and age of Amazon and online shopping, independent shops have to be a bit more proactive and stuff. But Banquet Records in Kingston have...
Jamaica?
Banquet Records in Kingston have been in, I would say, over the last 3-4 years, been putting on gigs within Kingston, whether that be a church in Kingston, whether that be the local nightclub. And they've really developed quite a big thing now. The Who have played there. I mean, I'm going to go...
You're going to Idols tonight, aren't you?
We're going to go... Yeah, exactly. So Idols are playing there tomorrow. I've seen Jamie Webster and Griff Rees in a church in Kingston. But I think...
Class.
Just praying together. Yeah.
No pray.
Jamie, what have you been doing since you stopped singing the Liverpool song?
Different nights.
Me and Griff Rees are missionaries now.
Well, not different nights, but what I think it does is show... I think it's really important to support independent shops.
No, I'm with you. It's difficult.
It's difficult, but I think like stuff that you're really passionate about and really like...
Yes.
I'm going to go and see 4 gigs. I'm going out to independent... You're going to an independent record shop, putting on 4 gigs within the local area to support it as much as anything. I wouldn't... Yeah, I
100%.
Think...
In. I'm putting Bob Marley in. I know we spoke about him at the beginning, but what this has allowed me to do, I think like a lot of people, I had a Bob Marley phase, but mine went quite deep and quite wide. And I remember buying a box set of 4 CDs from Tower Records in Amsterdam in 1994, which is about the most Bob Marley thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Records.
Yeah, I'd been touring coffee shops and bought these, and that led to me going, you know, Seb's favourite album is Legend, and that's okay, and it's a good joke. But then for years, you sort of... listen to it every now and again. But doing this collection has led me to go deep again. And it just reminded me how once you get past the radio-friendly version of Bob Marley, what an important artist he was and what amazing songs he mm-hmm. made. So I'm going to ask you all, what is your favourite Bob Marley song? James?
I love Redemption Song, but it's not that. It's Could You Be Loved, because I used to go from the age of 16 to a weekly party in Wolverhampton called Blast Off.
At the Civic. I've also been.
At the Civic. Nice. And in the back bar, it was called, they played sort of, instead of playing like Landfill Indie, they played like 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s stuff, basically.
Yeah.
And they always played Could You Be Loved as the booze was getting to its peak, and sort of it was me, my mates, and mostly old people in the back room. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Could You Be Loved?
Yeah, Seb doesn't believe in it.
No.
Mine would be Is This Love? Beautiful song. Breaks my heart, but makes me happy at the same time.
There's so many, isn't there?
Yeah. I know it's a big one, but yeah, that's the one that comes to mind.
Owen, yours?
Because I've been listening to him a lot again recently, I don't know.
Give us a cool one.
I used to love, it would have previously, I loved Trench Town Rock. Mm-hmm. And I would say at the moment, because I've been listening to a lot of the albums again, it's either Easy Skanking, which is the first song off the Kaya album, or a song called Coming In From The Cold, which I've listened to. It's one of the songs that wormed its way right to the top of my top 100 on Spotify last year. I listened to it a lot. Bob Marley in. Okay, thanks. I'm going to put Sandbaggers in quickly. I'm going to do my act.
Go on.
There's someone waiting outside the studio for us who's been hanging around all day, who's tried to sell Tommy studio space while we're in our studio, and he's hanging around for Seb. But I'm going to go out instead of Seb and tell him to fuck off. Because I don't like things like this. Dictator I may be, but I'm a bloody loyal one. Sandbaggers, yeah. Out. Right, next.
Can I change my out and just join you with that? Because I think I'm still...
No, you can't. Tommy. Yellow card.
The mental brutality of darts, playing darts, pub darts. I play darts a lot, as anyone who follows me on Instagram might know, probably twice a week at the moment. Have done for many years.
It's go around there anyway, Wednesday night of the week, and Stuart's hanging out at treble 20.
Exactly. Never treble 20, I wish. But I was unbelievable. Like, I can be unbelievable on a Thursday and then go and play a couple of days later and just gone. I've never known. Like, I admire darts players so much because it is, and imagine doing it with all, thousands of people watching. It is such a fucking difficult game where one thing in your mind can just kill it. Just totally kill your form. Kills me.
You're not black and white enough mentally, that's why.
I'm getting there.
It's like golf.
I'm getting there.
Mine is the booing of nondescript former players.
Like who?
For no reason. Like Nathan Collins coming back to Wolves. Didn't do anything wrong. Played for us for a year.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
We'll have forgotten he ever played for us in 5 years. Just getting fucking absolutely panelled.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even do something funny.
It wasn't funny. It's like, don't even know him.
Yeah.
Out, I suppose. Yeah. But I'm going to ask that, you know, you have a serious consideration about your outs next week, James, because this could be a ban.
I think that's really good.
Well, we're not still talking about it, are we? If it was any good, we'd still
we're
be talking
out of time.
About it. Oh, here he is. Fucking hell.
Yeah,
it's Sebi Soapbox.
No, I thought that. This week, my out is people getting a bit arsey about swearing at women's football matches. Now, I fully have, and I have spoken this, and I've written about this.
This sounds like a man who's called someone a cunt in front of his 12-year-old.
No.
Very recently.
No. I was talking to someone the other day, a respected journalist in Jessie Parker Humphreys. Yeah, she got told to stop swearing, and she basically turned around and said, it's not the fucking theatre. Now, which I agree, that it's a friendly environment, and I've spoken about it, I've written about it, but also there's also, you know, a few swear words here and there aren't the bloody end of the world, are they?
This is also because you take five badly behaved 12-year-olds to watch every Sunday.
Yeah.
The thing is, Sam, if you're going to give them 3 points each before the match... But no, honestly, Ava, it'll be fine. It's all right. My dad used to do it for me.
You hear people criticising, booing women's players and stuff like this. It can take some bits from men's football and still be a brilliant thing.
Definitely, you're right.
Also, you wouldn't shout out of the theatre, but yes. Yeah.
Oh, you would. Type of theatre's Bernie take you to?
He's behind you!
Oh, God, there's three of them behind you.
I don't even know what I'm saying in or out here, so let's just say this has been reminding you why I love football. Seb has just had an out-of-body experience. Yeah.
It has been a long day.
Yeah, it has been a long day. We've recorded this at Spiritland, as ever. We love it here. Ed is now a permanent fixture in the booth, and if he's not here next time we record, there is going to be a fucking riot.
Yeah. Although we are about to be offered a very good deal out there.
Please rate, review, share, tell people about it. Fucking, like, please do some reviews. But we should, for the amount of people who we know listen to it, we should have more reviews. And if you can't be arsed, that's fine. But you give us, like, there's people reviewing it in the Discord every week. Just pop it on Apple. Yeah. Pop it on there. Yeah. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Reminding you why you love football is a Monday Owl and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.